Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. If a person wants to be wise, then it makes logical sense for that person to trust their Creator and to follow His instructions. On the other hand, only a fool would reject God's word and live by his own wits. The wisest thing that you can do is repent of your sins, trust Jesus to be your Savior, and to wholeheartedly live for Him. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 1, verse 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter.
To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark sayings are sayings that are expressed in kind of like an obscure way. And many times, well, let me say not many times, it's always wise to pray when you're reading the Bible. It's always wise to pray because you have the best teacher in the universe dwelling inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get it. Please show it to me. And if it's necessary for you to understand it, He'll show it you. If it's not necessary for you to understand it, then just move on. You see, it's not enough to know where the gold is, beloved. You and I have to be like miners that dig deep beneath the surface, and by the power and the inspiration and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, you draw the gold out. Well, we'll get into more digging next week. If you read ahead the first five verses of chapter 2, powerful, powerful, powerful. Well, for the first time in Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Should be noted here, beloved, that the knowledge that is spoken of here is not mental brilliance. It's not educational intelligence. There are multitudes of people whose God is their education, or whose God is their brilliance. And if and when that is mixed with a fear of God, it's a beautiful thing. But apart from the fear of the Lord, it's vanity. It's empty. It's dangerous. It's often antichrist. Because it doesn't want to hear what God has to say, because they think they're God. You see, the beginning of real knowledge about life and eternity begins where? With the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that's where it begins. And we need to pray for our church family. If you're visiting us from another fellowship tonight or watching from afar, you need to be praying. We need to be praying that within the church we would have a good, healthy, biblical fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord that teaches us to love our Redeemer supremely, to serve Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and listen to what He says. And as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to our former lust and our ignorance, but as He is holy, being holy in all manner of behavior. 14 times in the book of Proverbs, we're going to read about the fear of the Lord and the blessed benefits that go along with the person who walks in it. Let me comment, and we'll comment on those verses as we go through them. But in chapter 9, we will see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, what life is all about, and it's the beginning of wisdom. How to have the wisdom to live your life. Don't we need that? Whether it comes to how to raise children, whether it comes to what about relationships, marriage, money. Oh, I can't wait till we start talking about the tongue. We will talk less and listen more. I guarantee you. Hebrews 12:28 says, we are to have a reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Reverence is an affection for Him. Godly fear is an aversion for the things that God hates. So we are to, in the book of Proverbs, we are going to be taught what we should love and what we should hate. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8:13, is to hate evil. In other words, we cannot walk in the fear of the Lord and knowingly hang on to sins at one and the same time. The reverential awe and admiring submissive fear is foundational. Fear of God is foundational. It's one of the foundation stones of the Christian life. I can't claim to be a wise man if I'm not living in the fear of God. Because if I'm not fearing God, I'm a fool. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise it. They don't regard wisdom and instruction. And in this day and age, people are getting hardened more and more against the truth of God's word. They don't want to hear it. It's like the last verse in the book of Judges. Every man is doing that which is right in their own eyes. And they want us to accept what they do, regardless of whether or not it is biblical. A fool is an individual who aggressively flaunts their personal independence from God. A fool is self-willed instead of controlled by the Spirit. In chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He or she can justify anything that they do without even blushing. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. We all need counsel, don't we? Don't we? That's one of the important ingredients in a church family. We need to know how to counsel one another. Not scold. You know people that are like this? See them walking in the door of the church. They're going like this. I'm going to go to the other door. That's all they're going to do is scold. Be critical. Put down. Judgmental. Holier than thou. Holy cow. But we need counsel. We all do, don't we? You and I can glean from one another, learn from one another, advise one another, admonish one another, all of those one another's, that we might grow closer to the Lord and closer to one another. Wisdom for life is only realized when a person has a true relationship with the living God through faith in his only begotten Son. And like I said, it's probably true of you. Just being born again and beginning to read the book of Proverbs, it was like the windows of my soul were opened, and in came the wind from heaven. I says, where have you been all these years? It was so radical. And you know what? It doesn't stop. The window is open more now than it was back then. My son, notice, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, I have thought, it wouldn't be a bad idea, as we're going through the book of Proverbs, to have the whole youth group up here too. Because this is for everybody. The book of Proverbs has those conversations that dads have with their sons and moms have with their daughters. It gets them all blushy and everything. You have to have it. And here's my son. He says, listen to your father. Listen to your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. How wise is the young boy or the young girl that listens to godly wisdom of godly parents. Now, not everybody has godly parents. And in this day and age, there are parents who will tell you not to follow Jesus Christ, not to read the Word of God. Well, there's always that line that is drawn when it comes to authority. We are to submit to all authority that God ordains until that authority tells me to disobey God. And if any young person has a mother or father telling them to disobey God or not to follow Jesus Christ, well, that's where you have to draw the line. The primary purpose of every family is to be an extension of the kingdom of God and to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." There's another in Deuteronomy, it says, "And that you might live long on the earth." When my dad chastened me and my two brothers, he says, "If you want to live long, you're going to have to listen to me." Now I know what he meant. I mean, he wasn't saved, but he was preaching the Proverbs. And honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So there it is. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There's a right way to discipline children. And there's a wrong way to discipline children. The Proverbs tells us how. Never in anger. Never in anger. You know, one of the signs of the last days is that young people, 2 Timothy 3:2, would be disobedient to parents. And now you've got educators from preschool to med school telling children, you can do things without letting your parents know. Boy, oh boy. I pray that they repent, but I would not want to be in their shoes when they stand before the Almighty One. You know, as a young boy, I realized now at the age of however old I am, 74, yeah, every single time I disregarded or disobeyed my parents, when they were giving me wise counsel, every time I disobeyed, I got myself into serious trouble, whether it was about doing my homework, avoiding certain kids, how to handle money. Every time I disobeyed them, I was in the pig pen like the prodigal son. And so, kids, it's wise to obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. My son, verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners allure you, flatter you. My son is going to be a repeated phrase throughout this book. And it's obvious that the young person addressed in this book is at that stage in their life that would be equivalent to what our youth group would be, where they're beginning to experience biological changes. They're beginning to explore the realities of the world. They're beginning to wake up. I'm seeing my older grandkids like this now. Two of them are graduating from high school. How did they get old and I not get old? I don't know. And all of these things in the Proverbs address all of the things that they're going to be facing. The godly father, the godly mother is going to tell their son and daughter some of the facts of life. And our gracious heavenly father is speaking to each one of us about this. My son, if sinners entice thee. Well, you know what? It's not if, they are going to entice you. If they're unsaved and they do not have Christ as their Lord, they're your neighbors, they may be in your family, they may be in the club that you work out at, whatever. They're going to entice you. They're going to try to impact you or persuade you to do certain things, live certain ways. So a lesson here is to choose friends carefully. Years ago, I heard the adage that if you hang around with dogs, you're probably going to get fleas. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Isn't that what we want for our children, for our grandchildren? And this is what God wants for you and me. You see, because it's not just young people that are enticed. Old people get enticed, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. It's not like you reach a certain age and sinners stop enticing you. Like you have a, you know, like this lanyard on. "I'm 74. Please don't entice me anymore." Are you kidding me? You know, one of the things that we constantly deal with, no matter how old or young we are, is peer pressure. Every one of us, even in the church, peer pressure. For many adults, peer pressure comes from the materialistic form of what we used to say. It's like keeping up with the Joneses. Your neighbor gets a camper. Well, then I'm going to get a camper. You got a new car? I'm going to get a new car. You get a new set of kicks? I'm going to get a new set of kicks. And that's just that herd mentality. I love J.B. Phillips' translation, actually a paraphrase of Romans 12:2. It says this: don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. So one of the ways that we can not allow it to squeeze us in the mold is to just shut off all of the input. Just shut it off. Don't listen to it. The word entice carries the idea of luring. Webster's dictionary defines it as to incite or to instigate by exciting hope or desire, to induce to sin by promises or persuasions. I don't want to draw any of us back into our BC days, but wasn't that like the way it was? How I need to realize that this world system is tailor-made to tantalize my flesh. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he or she is drawn away of their own lust and enticed. The world's lure of pleasure or fun never tells you what it's going to cost you. Never. It never tells you the cost of addiction, the loss of virginity, the time paid for the crime committed, and the overwhelming debt and despair and hurt and pain. We've all been there. It's living like that that brought us to Christ, right? Amen? And thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God for His redeeming love. Thank God how He gave us a new heart, a new internal GPS called God's personal spirit dwelling in us. Praise God for that. Now, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to realize that the lost are our mission field. And we should be a friend of publicans, a friend of sinners for the sake of the gospel, but never to cross the line where you partake of their sinful ways of living. That's where you draw the line. Ephesians 5:11 and 12 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. They're lost. Every one of us in this room tonight, we're lost. Someone came into our world. Aren't you glad that they did? Aren't you glad that they loved Christ enough and loved you enough to share the gospel with you? I am so thankful for that. And I will never, never, never forget those who led me to Christ. Now notice the enticement, verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily. The idea is ambush. The innocent without cause. Let's just go out and cause trouble. Don't you remember doing that when you were a little kid? What do you want to do tonight? Well, let's go throw some rocks through a window at the neighbor's house and then hide. Now that's pretty tame, but it's wrong, right? We all did those stupid things. That's enticement. Let's go over to the neighbor's house and take the things off their tires, and when you get up in the morning, so that they have flat tires, and we'll just look and go, ha 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 ha. That's nutso. Now that's tame compared to what people do now. Come over here, try a little bit of this. It won't hurt you. Then you read about them in the obituary column. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You see how the devil wants his people to be one. God wants his people to be one. You see, the devil is the ultimate ripoff artist. It's obvious, isn't it, that this crowd is up to no good. And they're seeking to allure this young person into their mischief. They devise a plot of deception in which the innocent are captured and victimized, just like one who is taken by thefts itself. I can just hear this young man, perhaps initially saying, no, and then the peer pressure, why not? Are you too good to have a little fun? No. Oh, are you one of those Jesus freaks? Are you a chicken? You know, that's just how they talk. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. My son, walk not in that way, verse 15. Don't follow that course of action. Don't walk in the way with them. Refrain or deny and withhold thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. The hunter never points the animal that he is trying to catch the location of the trap. You know how to go. I love how sometimes the Proverbs are, with the way God made me, I kind of laugh and go, that's so stupid. Well, Raymond, that's how you are. Apart from my wisdom, you're stupid, right? Don't deny it. So are you. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that's stupid in this room. The hunter is going to keep the trap as covert as possible. But the Proverbs reveal or bring out into the open the very traps that are set for us by our enemy. Peer pressure, pride, anger, sexual immorality, laziness, drunkenness, gluttony, gossip, backbiting, whispering, slander. Huh? Yeah. Even a bird will not fall for the trap that they see is laid out before them. But the fool, in spite of the warning of Scripture, and in spite of knowing what this sin or course of action has done to countless others, and still pursues the trap, they do it to their own demise. Amazing. The moral of the story, well, we're not done, but at this point in time, is stay away from the net, the snare of the trap, or the trap of sin. It might be the internet. It might be television. It might be video games. It could be something different for every one of us. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. In spiritual warfare, the enemy baits us with the very things that in the end will destroy us. And the devil's got a book on you and on me. Compare the phrase, lay wait in verse 11, with if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, to see how it is used in this verse. The very thing that they sought to do to others, in the end, they get hung by. Does the name Haman ring a bell? Remember, if you go and read the book of Esther, every time you say Haman, boo! Esther 7, 9, and 10, the gallows 50 feet high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him there. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Please note that the abundant spoil that was promised in verses 13 and 14 didn't happen. But the consequence of eating the bait is mentioned. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.